have chosen to actively boycott our work. And, you know, the laity, you know, arguably believe that the priesthood are well-directed, and if Jeff Brooks and the Great Western Vehicle and the other members of the Great Western Vehicle, if the priesthood of Buddhism finds fault in our belief systems, well then there must be something wrong with us, right? And if there's something wrong with us, well, then why donate money to us? So that's what the Biofuels program is about, is that it gives us an opportunity to acquire fuel at low cost so that we can move our mission around the country. And what we want to do, the reason why we want to move that mission around, is to, one, meet people, and two, to interview charismatic meditators. So that we can, you know, in a sense, establish an argument for our case that, no, it's not just Jeff Brooks who's having charismatic experiences in his meditations. It's hundreds of people.
I noticed you have an actual support group within your community for that. What types of other experiences you haven't already mentioned have been documented? Is there anything else?
Yeah, it's called
that support group.
It's called the Jhana Support Group, and we've had about 1,500 to 2,000 people join that group, and we've probably recorded at least 500, maybe 1,000 case histories. And in those case histories, we very commonly, you know, the most common experiences that we encounter are people experiencing bliss, joy, and ecstasy while practicing meditation. But in addition to that, a lot of them are experiencing lucid dreaming or out-of-body experiences. They're feeling their chakras and their aura while they're meditating. They're having charismatic sensations in their sensory domain. So they're in a tactile sensory domain. They're feeling sensations on the surface of their body that are not there when they're not meditating. They have they hear charismatic ringing or chirping or like cricket sounds. And then there's also charismatic taste, charismatic smell, and charismatic kinesthetic sensations.
Information, and I mean I'm familiar with some of the Buddhist scriptures too, and I notice that passages which talk about the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, specifically mentioned some kind of ecstatic experience as part of that base philosophy.
Yeah.
So I find it interesting that mainline Buddhist movement does not regard Buddhist experience called jhana,
right,
is referred to as a reality, as an actual function of their belief system.
That's absolutely true. The Buddha defined the Eightfold or the Noble Eightfold Path in terms of jhana. The theological conflict for Buddhist priesthood is that if an individual experiences jhana, then by definition that person is a saint, and the priesthood do not want to recognize saints. If you check, you know, your Buddhist history, you'll find that there's very little recognition of a pantheon of saints. Unlike the Catholic Church, on the other hand, has this huge pantheon of saints, but most of the Buddhist vehicles do not have this pantheon of saints. They look back to an antiquity, either the time of the Buddha or the time of some other patriarch in the Buddhist religions, and only there, at that moment, will they say, okay, that person is a saint or an arhat, is the typical Buddhist term for a saint. And for an individual today to say that they're experiencing jhana says that, oh, that individual must, by definition, be a saint. And that creates a number of conflicts for Asian Buddhism. The most fundamental conflict for Asian Buddhism is that every religion has an idea of evil, right? Well, in Buddhism, the term for evil is asura. An asura is a devil. Well, that term asura refers to the Assyrian people. And the Assyrian people are from basically the Arabian Peninsula. And they conquered India about 5,000 years ago. And in that military campaign of conquering India, they were defined as devils by the Indian people. So when you look at the